I'm going to give this wireless mic a second chance. God's all about second chances, right? Well, good morning, church. I don't know, it might not work. All right. Pastor Elias has magic hands. He makes that mic work really well. Maybe as we continue in our journey with God, Pastor will continue to reveal his secrets. Well, before I get started, I kind of want to talk to you guys about something that's been going on in my life, and it kind of dates back a couple of weeks ago to Father's Day. For a while, I had been wanting a new Bible, and on Father's Day, my wife and son they got me a new Bible, and so I was really really happy, and. It's a John Maxwell Leadership Bible, and it lit up my life, and so I started reading into it, and just the little side notes that it has, as I continue to just kind of give my heart to God, as you know, Eloy and my wife and Alyssa and myself, as we continue to transition into leadership roles with the church and in the ministry, and I felt like that was something God was calling me to do, to give my time to him. And so during this process, you know, God's been stirring up things in my heart, and the Saturday before, a few Sundays ago, Pastor asked me to speak today, and the Saturday before that, the time I spent with God was just really, it got me just teary-eyed, and my heart was pounding, and I just felt like God was speaking to me, so moving forward, I was like, I need to start putting all these ideas and these thoughts together, and that way I can share it with you guys. And then when I found out that Alyssa was speaking, and when she spoke, God really opened my eyes, because it was along the same lines of what I wanted to talk about. And if y'all don't recall, Alyssa, a few weeks ago, she spoke of Moses in Exodus, and how the things that happen in our lives, how could we not believe that God exists and that God is for us? And so then Eloy came up, and he preached, and he talked about Exodus too, and how God works for us, that he's a dream worker working for us. So I was like, okay, God, we'll go with it. We'll do a 3 for 3. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna share with you guys some more passages from Exodus. So if you open up your Bibles to Exodus 13. If you open up your Bibles to Exodus 13, verse 21. Exodus 13, verse 21 reads as follows. It says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." And as I was reading on this, And I remember hearing Alyssa she kind of read through this part, and it continued to just stand out in my heart, in my mind, the significance of living in a time when there's a pillar of cloud and there's a pillar of fire that is leading Moses and his people out of Egypt. And so then I began to keep reading, and I got to Exodus 14. So if you turn to Exodus 14, verse 19, Exodus 14, 19 reads, "Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them." And I thought this was significant, because many times when we seek God, when we see God and we want to move forward in our lives and or in our careers or in our academics or relationship, in any circumstance that we might face, we trust that God will lead us forward. And I love how God made sure to let us know that he is also taking care of what's behind us. I know it's important to look forward, but many times as we move forward, if we're breaking addictions or bad habits or old relationships, abusive relationships, bad jobs, bad relationships with our sons, our daughters, our parents, and it's hard to break those bad habits, those bad things that we've done, and we're trusting God, God's going to be before us, and he's going to fight for us moving forward, but he will also be behind us to take care of whatever's left. It's important to understand that. And I kept on reading, and I jumped to Exodus verse 16. Exodus chapter 16, excuse me. Exodus chapter 16, verse 9. The Bible says that Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard you grumbling." He has heard your grumbling. And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. So we read in the Bible that God has a pillar for his people as he's leading Moses and Aaron and Joshua out of Egypt. And not only is he before them, but he's behind them. And as we continue to move, as it is in life, things are going good, and then the grumbling starts. Get a new car, and eventually we need new tires. Or that infamous first crack in the windshield. Oh. You know, the sometimes when we're younger and you know, we got Matt getting ready for school, and I can remember when I was young and wanted new shoes, and sometimes, you know, money was tight, and Mom and Dad had to say, "Hey, you know, you're going to have to stretch that pair of shoes out another month or two." And start to grumble. It's like, man, but all the other kids are going to have new shoes, you know. It's tough. But the shoes that you have on when you first got them, all about it. They were nice. Not anymore, but they used to be. And so this is a time that the Israelites are in. God's leading them out of Egypt. But as time goes on, and God continues to fight for them and reveal where they need to be, leading them forward and distancing themselves from the past, the people start to grumble. But the pillar, the cloud, God is still there. So God is before us, God is behind us. God's there for us when times get tough. How many youth are here right now? How many youth? The messier, you don't count, sir. Do you have a phone on you? A phone with internet? Can you Google the definition of Exodus real quick, like super, super fast? Put everybody on the, everybody's watching you. I want you to Google the definition of what Exodus means. You have internet? Exodus. What's up, my man? How you doing? How you doing? Doing good? All right. Can you read out loud what it says?
A mass departure of peoples, especially immigrants. Which one? This one or this one? The departure of, what does that say? Of Israelites from Egypt.
So Exodus, what we've been reading from, is the departure of the Israelites, thank you, by the way, of Moses and his people from Egypt. And in different definitions, it says that Exodus means freedom or escape or leaving. And as I continue to read and study, and as Alyssa shared her message and Eloy shared his message, what I wanted to share with you guys started becoming a little bit more clear. What I want to talk to you guys about today is the leadership of our Lord. The leadership of the Lord. See, as I continue to read through Exodus, it became clear to me that there's tons and tons of examples of leadership in this book. And one thing that I've learned is that God will teach us to expect dynamic leadership. Leadership that moves. And not only that, but as we read in Exodus, God will provide a way for us to see that leadership. He provided it to the people through a pillar. And as they continue to go through the wilderness and through the desert, as they fled Egypt, it became clear to me that with the grumblings and moving forward and getting rid of the past, that people need models. They need examples. They need patterns to follow of leadership so that they can, one, observe them, so they can see them. And then we monkey see, monkey do. We observe and follow. And that's the leadership of the Lord. God provided us something to see. He provided Moses and Aaron and Joshua something to follow. And the people went. In Exodus 33:11, as we're moving forward and God's distancing ourselves from the past and the grumbling starts to happen, you know that kid in the back of the car that says, are we there yet? You know? Moses had a whole bunch of, are we there yet, people? Okay? And the more he told them to hush, the louder they got. The teachers and the staff and everybody, you know those kids, right? The shh, and then they get louder. In Exodus 33, verse 11, It says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friends. And they're talking about this throughout the journey of Moses and his people leaving Egypt. The exodus, the fleeing, the leaving, seeking freedom. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. Moses, a wise man, he would seek the Lord, seek his counsel, and then he would go to his camp and share with them what God would speak to him about. And the leadership of the Lord, God's got this. He knows that we need to see it in order for us to do it. That we need to monkey see, monkey do. God gets it. He understands us. He knows us. He created us. And when Moses left to return to the camp, the young Joshua, his aide, did not leave the tent. As we continue our journey, as we walk with the Lord, I believe God begins to reveal to us what we need to do and what we don't need to do, where we need to be and where we don't need to be. And I believe the Bible specifically brings Joshua into the story before he later on is a leader himself. And the Bible describes him as a young Joshua. He's beginning to see it. He's beginning to observe it and follow it. It says, why do I need to go back to all the grumbling when I'm here in the presence of the Lord, in the leadership of the Lord? And this continued to happen over and over as Moses and his people were leading or leaving Egypt. And in Exodus 40, verse 36, Exodus chapter 40, verse 36, it says, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. So when the cloud moved, the people moved. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out. So if God didn't move, they didn't move. Monkey see, monkey do. God's leadership is distinct. It's intentful. It's precise. It has purpose. And as we begin to see what he wants for us, it's important that we see it and that we follow it. Where he goes, we go. And where he doesn't go, we don't go. And so the cloud, verse 38, of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of the house of Israel during all their travels. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, the Israelites, they were all led through the book of Exodus to freedom, to escape. From slavery to freedom, from captivity through the wilderness, through the desert, by the leadership of God. But as we read, grumblings begin and grumblings happen. Things don't go perfect as planned. And God would speak to Moses, and Moses would speak to the Israelites. And God had a promise for his people. They were promised freedom. They were promised to be set free from the captivity of Egypt. As it is in our lives, we begin to follow the Lord and things are revealed to us. Prayers are prayed for us. Things are revealed to us as we read the Bible, as we're at church, as we're in community groups, different things like that. And promises come to pass, whether it's a job, whether it's going to a certain college, whether it's being in a certain relationship, having certain finances, moving to a certain city instead of another one. But as times go on, we begin to grumble. And we're human, and sometimes our lives become more about the promise of God instead of God. Sometimes our lives become more about the promise of God than God. When you follow the leadership of God, when you follow the pillar where God's leading you, what God is taking you from, your exodus will come to pass. Where you live doesn't matter. What you drive won't matter. What you wear won't matter. Where you're at right now won't matter. Because if we're focused on the leadership of God, we're focused on God and not his promises. And what do I mean by that? Well, I can give you a few examples. We can go to college and we can graduate from college and we go to college for a specific job and we get that job. My dad was a teacher for 38 years. And I worked for the school district for a few years and I would see how over time the teachers that I had when I was in high school, I began to work with them, and I can see how with time they began to grumble. I remember them when I was a student, and they were my teacher, and they're just full of life and full of joy. And as time progressed, they began to grumble. See, God promised them a future, a career. And somewhere along the lines, instead of being focused on God and his grace and his gratitude, we became more focused on the promise. And that's where the devil sneaks in and steals our joy, because we're focused on the wrong thing. And the same thing happens with our houses. We love them when they're brand new, but once they get dirty, just recently, some of y'all might know and some of y'all might not know, I was doing some rotations for physical therapy, and I was able to partner up with a student of mine, a classmate, and we were at a clinic. We were there for 6 weeks, and this guy's young. He's probably like the second youngest in the class, and I'm the oldest, and so he's like 21, 20, and tons of energy, you know. He's just always talking in class, always hyper. He loves what he's doing, and he's just full of energy. Doesn't even drink coffee yet, and he's just full of energy. I'm on like cup 5 or 6, just trying to catch up to him. But by the time we got to week 5 and week 6, I noticed that he was starting to get tired, and I felt for him because I knew his heart. I knew his heart and the love that he had for the program that we're in and helping the community and helping the patients get better. But he was getting tired, and I couldn't help but just think that he started to grumble. And my heart went out to him, and I pulled him aside and I prayed for him there in the clinic, and I just shared with him, Don't lose what's important. Don't lose focus of what's important. Work is work, but what's in your heart will not make it work. It'll make it joy. When you focus on God instead of the promises of God, you will see God's leadership and where he wants you to be, and it'll all make sense. Your exodus will come to pass. And the beautiful thing I love about Exodus is that his leadership, it dynamically, it physically moved the people from where they were. He guided them. And when they stopped following him, that's when the grumbling started. That's when they got stuck there for, was it like 80 years, something like that? 40 years? Probably felt like 80. And they lose sight and focus of God. But if we focus on God and his divine and dynamic purpose for us, as we continue to move forward, we begin to be set free. He will begin to use our chains. He will begin to use our grumblings to set us free. Wasn't easy, but he'll use our situation. He'll use our circumstance to set us free. And I believe that's where God is leading us. You know, I believe that Alyssa and Eloy and myself and just pastor just praying before I started speaking, it's God has something going on in this church, and he's leading us, and it's important that we continue to follow that pillar. And it takes a while, and it's a process. And the one thing that I've also learned about the book of Exodus is that, you know, we hear Pastor Elias talk about how important it is to read the Bible and to pray. I didn't figure out the microphone thing, but I figured that out. And it's crazy, crazy important. Because as we pray and as we read the Bible, his leadership, God's leadership is revealed to us. And his leadership is the most important tool we need in our lives. It'll move us forward physically, whether it's our jobs, finances, our households, our relationships, but he'll also move us forward spiritually. Move us forward and not in circles. Many times in our lives, we get stuck in circles. And what happened this year was the same thing that happened last year and the same thing that happened the year before. Because we lose focus. If we follow God, we will be set free. I want to close with this. I want to jump over to the New Testament in closing. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 21, verse 27. Acts chapter 21, verse 27. The leadership of the Lord. In Acts 21, we're reading about Paul, the life of Paul. Verse 27 reads, "When the 7 days were nearly over, Paul was out about the city and just sharing the knowledge and the wisdom of God and the love of God and his promise for the people. Some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple area and defiled this holy place." Verse 30 says, "The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul." And so Paul is doing the work of God. We all know his life, how he was changed from attacking Christians to talking about God and the importance of his love and his message. So much that he would go days with no end, days on days, and he would just share God's word to the point where the cities had enough. And so they captured him and they began to beat him. And it's important to know that the work that God did in Paul's life, God was leading him. See, it takes something very special and something very powerful to take the life of Paul before he encounters God and is changed and does the work that he does. To the point that he knows that he's going to be captured. He knows he's going to be beaten. He knows that he's going to be arrested. He knows that he's going to be put in chains. And he still does it. And the crazy thing about all this story is that they don't even know what to do with him. That's how much influence God has in his life. They know that he's talking about God, but they don't even know what to do with him. And so they pass Paul on from person to person. They pass him on from one commander to another commander, and they pass him on from one city to another city. They send him to centurions, and they send him through chapter 22 and chapter 23 and chapter 24 and chapter 25 and chapter 26. God was with Paul. He was before him and behind him. He was leading him. And Paul was focused on God and not his promises. Because if Paul was focused on his promises, he would have quit a long time ago once people started beating him, once people started arresting him, once people started attacking him, running after him. Because the promise of God is freedom and joy and love and eternal life and all these great things. But if you're focused on that and not God, once the grumbling starts, you lose your victory. You lose your fight. And so Paul was chained up, and God used his chains, and he took him from leader to leader. And he took him from town to town, and he took him from people to people, and used Paul to spread God's word, God's love, his message to every person that he could get to while he was captured and chained. Paul would beg. He wouldn't beg for a phone call. He would just beg for an opportunity. Don't let me free. Just let me speak to the people. He used the situation he was in. He used God's leadership. He trusted God's leadership. God, this is where you're leading me. This is where I'll work. This is where I'll work. Don't let me free. Just let me speak to the people. Let me use these chains. Let me use these chains that you put on me. and the leadership of the Lord to set other people free. And God used Paul's chains to set other people's chains free. That's true leadership. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, we're all familiar with this section of the Bible. It's about the armor of God. If we jump back a little bit to verse 10, we talk about the armor of God and to stand firm and to put on this and to put on that. And as I was reading it, I love verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, after he says all these different things to put on the armor of God, he finishes with this. Verse 19 says, pray for me whenever I open my mouth, that words be given to me, that I fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul was so driven by the leadership of the Lord and so focused on the leadership of the Lord that he didn't use his chains to be a negative thing in his life. He didn't allow the devil to allow him to grumble. He used that as his tool because he was guided by God's leadership. And Paul doesn't say, you know what, I don't want to use these chains. No, you know what, let me be an ambassador in chains. Let me use my chains to set other people's chains free. In Philippians 1, verse 12, Paul continues on in a letter to the Philippians. It says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, the fact that I'm being captured over and over, that I've been being put in chains over and over, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And I believe that's God's message to all of us, that he is leading us. He is leading us, each and every one of us, where we're at right now, to advance the gospel. Your message, Mark. Your message, Matt. Your message, Casey. Sister Green, God's still got a message for you. He's not done with you. God's got a message for all of us. He's leading us. He's got a pillar for each and every one of us. And every now and then, we get shackled. We get shackled in chains, and we have grumblings, and we have rough times in our lives. But God will use those chains to set other people free. And that's what Paul's talking about. As a result, it has become clear, verse 13, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. That I am in chains for Christ. If you're going to be in chains, there's no better chains to be in than in chains for Christ. And so story full circle, this Bible that my family got me on Father's Day, it had a little side note. And I really love the Bible. I feel like I'm a nerd for God right now. And it had it has so much information in it. And it had a side note, and you know how at the beginning of every chapter of the Bible it has like a little history of the book that's being written. It has a history of the book of Genesis, a history of the book of Exodus, and every chapter that's throughout the Bible. Well, I grew up and I wasn't the guy that would ever read those. And for whatever reason, I was like, man, I want to read it. And when I read it, this might sound silly, and maybe I should have known this, but I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I read that Paul wrote the book of Ephesians and the book of the Philippians when he was in chains, when he was in prison. And the book is so powerful, and it's got so much joy, and it's got so much light and so much freedom. And he wrote it in chains. That's the leadership of the Lord, that no matter what circumstance we're in, we are still in his leadership, and we are still in his freedom. And when we focus on God, and when we focus on God, and not so much the promises of God, our exodus will come to pass. I believe that's where God is leading us, and I believe that's where he wants us to be. I'll close with this. The Bible says in Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, leading you before and behind a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, to the very end of the age." God's leadership will allow us to move forward, not in circles, not in circles. God will move us forward to use our chains to set others free. And it is his leadership that will lead us to Exodus and to overcome, to move forward as a family household in the new school year to come, the new job that we might get, the old job that we have that we're getting tired of, the new shoes that we have, the new shoes that we haven't got. Moving forward, and God will use our circumstance. God will use our chains to set others free. And it's his leadership that will help us overcome the chains that we're in. Revelations 3 says that he will lead us. He will lead us and make all those who overcome. Full circle. Here we go. Putting everything together. God's leadership. A pillar of cloud that leads us during the day, and a pillar of fire that leads us at night to follow his leadership where he wants us. God will lead us and make all of those who overcome a pillar in the temple of God. That's the leadership of the Lord. True leadership for your life, for your spouse, for your kids, for your parents, for your household, for your job, for your community, for this church, for the city, for the valley, moving forward, not in circles, but forward, following God's leadership, and his pillar, true leadership. He takes his pillar to set us free, and we become pillars for others. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time today, Father God. I thank you for this time, Father God, that this message, Father God, is touching hearts here today. I pray that you just touch these hearts here today, Father God. That your Holy Spirit just open our hearts and our minds, Father God, physically and spiritually, Father God, to become the pillar that you want us to be, Father God. And you set the tone, Father God. You set the pace, Father God. You are the true leadership. You are the true example, Father God. You led Moses and his people forward out of Egypt, Father God, into freedom, Father God. And we pray, Father God, we humbly pray to you, Father God, that you provide that same freedom to our life, Father God, moving into a new academic school year, Father God, for all our young adults, Father God, for all our youth, Father God. for all the school staff, Father God, for the leaders of this church, Father God, for every foot that stepped inside this church, Father God, every person that's on the heart of people here today, Father God, if we came in here praying for somebody else, Father God, their feet too, Father God, that your leadership, Father God, that your pillar, Father God, continue to be the example that we follow, Father God, that we stay focused on you, Father God, and lead us, Father God, lead us, Father God, not to see our chains as a loss, Father God, but as a victory, Father God, not as oppression, Father God, but as an opportunity, Father God, as an opportunity, Father God, to set others free. In Jesus' name we pray.